Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah, yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Back in action after a week off.
America, we are back. We are back at it, October the 18th.
Gary showing off his new haircut.
Brand new just for you, Rob. Oh, goodness gracious. We are ready to talk some sports. We had a week off, obviously. Good time to kind of reset and reconnect, if you will. So, you know the drill. We're going to go around the horn and check in with everyone to see how they're doing before we get ready for another jam-packed edition of Talking Sports with the 12th man. So, JQ, as always, how you feeling, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Just, you know, we're getting ready to start this hockey season on Saturday. Last time, I think I talked to the last time I went to the Ohio State-Maryland game and finally got to see one in the shoe. So, you know, mark that off, bucket list item off. So I'm doing good, man.
Very nice.
Good to see you on, John, today, huh?
If you don't get out of here, man, I don't know what you was doing before you got on this phone call, but I'm going to need you to stop doing that shit. I'm damn pissed yours.
Rocky Top.
No, baby. You already know what this is.
Oh, it's Bengals. Okay, all right, my bad.
Oh yeah, you know it was funny as the president of the company came by my office, and you know I've got like you know the Ohio State and the FAMU and Cincinnati and stuff in there. She was like, I just need you to pick a shade of orange. You got all the different shades of orange going on in here. I said, come on, don't come back here hating. You know, you do with your office. I'm gonna do what I do in my office. So that's what I told her. She started laughing.
I have a colleague. He's from Tennessee, and he's a huge Tennessee Volunteer. He practically goes to all the home games and maybe even a couple of one or two away games a year. And, you know, growing up in Tennessee, they didn't have an NFL team. So he became a Denver Broncos fan just because they wear orange.
That's so ridiculous. Don't tell nobody else no shit like that.
until this day, he's still a Denver Broncos fan. That's still his team.
That's funny.
Even though Tennessee has a team now.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, I'm even going to the Titans.
It's all about colors combinations, if you will. Rob Ford,
yes,
how you feeling, man?
Man, doing great, man. Had some beautiful asparagus for lunch today, man. Just some beautiful pieces today, man. It was outstanding. Didn't have it for dinner tonight, but it's all good.
Got me over slamming my pan down that damn asparagus.
Yeah,
I didn't have a healthy dinner, so I got to make up for it tomorrow.
It's funny, Rob, we're going to talk about, you know, your colleague in the Denver Broncos because he may be, you know, his coach may be on the hot seat for my little teaser for that too, man. But we'll talk about that later. So hold on to the conversation.
Well, I don't think Peyton's on the hot seat yet.
I'm making some calls.
No. And you know, I don't hate Sean Payton, but I do hope Denver keeps losing because, you know, the Saints, we get their second round pick.
I know you do, yeah.
That's going to be like another first round pick because it'll be the top of the second round.
Yes, it will be.
This guy. We are here. Finally, we've got
you're not wrong.
To Gary. He may have some things to get off his chest, if you will. We are a place of you know, therapy. We are a safe place here. So we've missed you, Gary. But, again, welcome, and here we are, my guy.
Man, that game's old news now.
It may be old news, but it's not old news for the Cowboys. That is not old news for the Cowboys. That was a game where they got their everlasting asses kicked on in all phases, in, starting with coaching. And every position they got outplayed in. And they absolutely just made, you know, Parsons look like a third string, you know, defensive end or linebacker, wherever they put him. They just completely shut him down.
They were physical with him.
And, and let me tell you something, though. The Niners, as much as I hate them, even though they lost because they, you know, that feel, and I was so happy that they lost this last week. But when they put it all together, man, I think they could beat any team in the league right now. I mean,
they're the best team in the league.
And it's just, it sickens me because I really thought that we were closer than that. But they showed us that they just bullied us around. And I pray to God that I think we'll be a playoff team. And I pray to God we don't have to meet them again. Because if we meet them again, we're going to get the same fate.
Yeah, Gary, it's pretty interesting because, you know, having both of those coaches in Atlanta, Dan Quinn, that's probably the smartest decision he ever made. Was he was like, Kyle Shanahan was one of the toughest, you know, offenses to defend. So he actually hired him. And that's what started the whole thing. And that's why, again, there's a little tie with the Cowboys and what's happening with the 49ers too. But it's I don't think we'll ever have a great offense like that again. And that's why I'm still upset about currently what's happening because you know what a good offense looks like. And just in spite of everything, you know, Kyle Shanahan still gets this he gets the bad rap for being, like, not a good in-game coach and making all these terrible decisions. But he'll get it right eventually. So, you know, like you said,
Well,
they got a squad.
He's one of the best coaches in the game right now. I mean, he hasn't won the Super Bowl yet, but I think he's definitely one of the best coaches in the game right now. You've seen him year after year. The 49ers are competitive. And it's hard to keep beating the same team like that over and over again. And
absolutely,
you would think that Dallas would be motivated by those playoff losses in the 49ers and would have had a better showing than that in that game. But yeah, they just came out and was dominant. But hey, I mean,
they're motivated.
The NFL,
they're motivated, Rob.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we say you got to come to play every week in the NFL, and that Cleveland defense was the kryptonite for that 49ers offense this past week. And our 49ers got some injuries in that game. But yeah, that Cleveland defense is definitely one of the best in the league. I mean, Myles Garrett, man, that guy, he is unblockable. Yeah, that Cleveland defense was phenomenal in that game. You got to give what's the guy's name? Schwartz, defensive coordinator for Cleveland.
Jim Schwartz.
You got to give you got to give him a lot of credit. He was once the head coach of the Detroit Lions, but yeah, he did a phenomenal job game planning and having that team ready to play. Yeah.
And
he beat him with a backup
quarterback. Thank you, NFL, for sticking with at Cleveland to start the season. I appreciate you. Passes.
Yeah, we're going to get this. We got about – I know we're definitely a couple minutes into the show. Really quickly, let's throw out the numbers. If you want to reach out to us, call in the same number, 424-243-9519. Follow us on X, which is formerly Twitter, which is at the number 12, THMEN Sports. And we are on Facebook, facebook.com/conference sports, the 12th man, or put in 12th man sports. We are there as well. We post mock drafts, show topics, all the fun stuff that's happening within our world. On the page as well too. Yeah, it's just a brand thing. You know how they're trying to rebrand stuff, try to take over. So anyway, it's all good. But gentlemen, we're going to kick this off actually with some college football stuff, and I'll let you guys go around the horn with some college football teams, and if you will. I try to catch some stuff. You know, I'm pretty busy. I actually had weddings on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so I was a little busy this week, so I was pretty much locked down. But, you know, it's a good month for me for October. I got to catch up. But, I'm always keeping an eye on everything and seeing what's happening. Even though I don't get a chance to respond, I'm keeping track of the scores and anything like that, too. So, let's talk about Absolutely.
Johnny Manziel.
Let's see the I look here, ATM. You need to talk about, you need to reach out to, you know, Goodell, make sure that he's ready, man, because he's got the extension, man. Big baller Rob that had to go to Canada last week. So let's kind of, again, let's switch that around, man.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that was a work trip. That was a work sponsored trip.
Those aren't really work trips, Rob. Come on now.
They were. I didn't, to be honest with you, I didn't get to do anything fun other than going out to eat. Yeah.
Kick it off, Rob. Top 10 teams, and we'll go Rob here at ATQ. We'll kind of kick it off too. So go ahead, my guys. Let's do that.
All right. Well, my top 10 is a little unconventional compared to where the polls have it right now. I don't have Georgia number one because they, to me, haven't gotten a quality win yet, in my opinion. I mean, you can make a case that a home win against Kentucky, but Kentucky has come back and lost at home to Missouri as well. So I'm going to give JQ's team a little love. I got Ohio State number one right now. They got a signature road win over Notre Dame. I mean, their roster is loaded with talent. Wide receiver position, they got a lot of NFL prospects on the defensive side of the football. And they may not have even played their best game yet, but I have them number one right now in the country. Number two, I got Florida State. When you look at Florida State, they were dominant against LSU week one. They went on the road and beat Clemson. They got a big one this weekend at home against Duke. And so they got a few more games on their schedule to help them to continue to move up in the rankings here as well. So I got Florida State number two. I got Washington number three, even though Oregon had plenty of opportunities that they blew to beat Washington in Seattle. But I have them number three. Michael Penix, in my opinion, has been the best quarterback in the country. Not saying he's going to be the best quarterback in the draft, but from a college perspective, he's been the best quarterback so far this season. He's been flat-out phenomenal. So I have Washington at number three. Oklahoma at number four, big win over Texas. Defensively, phenomenal job turning that defense around from last year to this year by Brent Venables. Last year, they gave up like 70 points to, I think, TCU in the first half. We're not even talking about the full game. And that defense was horrible last year. So big turnaround. Dylan Gabriel, to me, has been one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the country so far this year as well. So Oklahoma right up there, number four. Penn State, I got them at number five. They're another team that's got a lot of NFL prospects on this team. And big game this weekend at Ohio State, which we'll probably get to here in just a second. But I got Penn State number five. Now comes Georgia. I got Georgia number six. And Georgia's got some big injuries right now. Amarius Mims, their NFL prospect, offensive tackle. Now Brock Bowers is out now. So they got some big injuries coming up. I mean, it's still Georgia. They got a lot of depth. They got a lot of talent on that team. They just don't have a convincing win so far this year. And so that's the reason why I have number six. And I have Michigan. Michigan might be the best team in the country, and I got number seven. They still don't have a big win on their schedule this year, in my opinion. So I got them at number seven. I got North Carolina at number eight. I got Oregon at number nine. In Texas, rounding out the top 10, number 10.
Hey, Gary.
Well, I have the Buckeyes at number one as well. I've got Georgia at two, Michigan at three, Florida State at four, Washington at five, Oklahoma 6, Penn State 7, Oregon 8, Texas 9, and I've got Alabama at 10.
No love for North Carolina, undefeated.
So, yeah, that's that. Yeah, no, I get them. They beat Miami pretty good during that second half the other night. I'm going to do a mix of what you said, Rob, because I agree. But I'm still going to give Georgia their flowers, and I hate the Bulldogs. But they're the two-time defending champs. and they have not lost a game in like 2.5 years. There's something to be said for that. When everybody's gunning for you, sometimes these kids get a little complacent, and they know that the end goal is still just to get to Atlanta for the SEC championship game in the playoffs. Sometimes you have to fight through that, especially in this third campaign when you've won the previous two. So I'm going to give them their love and give them, and let them stay at number one. But after that, yeah, I go into the teams that have the signature win. I think Ohio State deserves to be number two with the win over Notre Dame, especially when you see Notre Dame bounce back from a little bit loss and just take USC to the woods and just beat up on Caleb Williams in that game. My God, that was impressive. So I think you got to give
Ohio
State
a tough game every week. They got to play the tough.
They played four undefeated teams. They played four undefeated teams four straight weeks. So that's a tough way to touch your season if you Notre Dame. Yes, that's wild. And they would be higher up, but they laid the egg a little bit. So you got to get penalized them a little bit for that. I agree with you. I like Washington at three. That's an incredible game. And Seattle Pennix, I think, is winning the Heisman right now. He's going to have a whole bunch of opportunities to keep bolstering that campaign and that, you know, saying his ability to probably get that. I think he gets it, though. I'm going to go Florida State, too. Also at four. I just think the Florida State, when you look at them, they look like they're the real deal. So I'm going to give them that love. I don't want to drop Oregon, but so far in that mix, because that's a tough game on the road, playing a heated rival, and you miss overtime, but I miss field goals. So I'm going to slot them in there. And then I'm going to go to Michigan and Penn State, and I'm not trying to be funny. Oklahoma first, and then Michigan and Penn State. And I'm not trying to be funny, but if you look at the rankings, I believe Michigan and Penn State have three of the top five easiest schedules so far because they didn't go out there and get themselves a non-conference game to get that signature win so far. So it's not to say that they're not good teams because they're very good teams. Ohio State will have their hands full with both of them, for sure.
Come on, man.
In terms
Michigan beat Bowling Green.
Stop that shit. And then I'm going to go to North Carolina. So I got a mix of your philosophy in that. I just, you know, I don't have any love for Georgia, so don't get me wrong. But to be on the streak that they're on and be the two-time defending champs, until somebody knocks them off, they deserve to still be number one. And it may not always be pretty and cute, but right now I'm just going to give them their flowers and say they deserve to be number one so somebody takes it.
Yeah. I mean, you talked about Florida State there, and you look at that team with Jordan Travers, those two wide receivers, the way the offensive line is playing, Jared Verse. They're definitely playing some outstanding football, too. It's going to be a really good stretch run, and some of these teams are going to start to play each other. I don't think Florida State and North Carolina plays against each other in the regular season, but that could very well be the ACC championship. I'd like to see both of those teams undefeated when they play against each other, so that'll be real interesting. And, of course, Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan, that trifecta, all playing against each other. It would be nice next year to see the Big Ten go to one division. As opposed to having all three of those teams in one division is just so lopsided the way the Big Ten is constructed right now. So also, you know, Texas and Oklahoma, will they meet again in the Big 12 championship game? That's going to be interesting to see, too, if they get a second match.
Mm-hmm. We're at the time of the year. Rubber meets the road.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to these predictions really quickly, too. So let's fire these off and kind of go through them. And we got a lot of info to talk about really quickly, too. So, yeah, I know, JQ, you're shaking your head, man, but we got to do it. Rice and Tulsa. Boom. Go.
Hey, Rice.
I don't fucking know.
Rice got JT Daniels at quarterback. He's the only quarterback at every university in the country, right? He's been at Georgia. He's been at USC. He's been at West Virginia. He's a six-year senior, if there's such a thing. JT Daniels, quarterback at Rice, and also Christian McCaffrey's younger brother's wide receiver at Rice, which is Ed McCaffrey's son. So they're like one of the top passing duos in the country at Rice. That being said, they're going to lose to Tulsa. Tulsa's defense is strong. Tulsa's at home. That's all Rice has is JT Daniels and Luke McCaffrey, and that's it. So Tulsa wins at home.
I'm a 12th-year senior. That's how that plays out, man. What type of nonsense is that going on, man?
COVID senior, baby.
He's a COVID senior. Yep, they got that extra year.
COVID senior.
I didn't know anything about either one of these teams, so I just went with the home team, Tulsa.
James Madison at Marshall.
Oh, no.
Hey,
James Madison is 6-0, and if they win this game, they'll be in the top 25 on next week. So we're going with James Madison, 7-0.
Sure.
I'm going with the home team.
You going with Marshall, Gary?
Yeah.
Too late to change, my guy.
Say, Chad Pennington and Randy Moss are walking through
back.
That door.
Oh, that's all I'm going to say. Thank you. Randy Moss is coming back, running past the Thunder and Herd, man. Oh, my goodness.
Chad Pennington and Randy Moss are going to be back in Marshall.
What'd you say, Gary?
So we just saw Moss and all the old guys in the in that commercial, you know, with a, hey, let's make a comeback.
Yeah.
Yeah,
let's
come back. He's sleeping on the bench.
Hey, this
man.
Next
yeah,
one,
that's
this
a good
next one's a good one here.
Yeah.
This is going to be a good game. Penn State.
My favorite was the NFL one where he has all the, like, the greats coming back and had, you know, that was my favorite one. You guys, Ed Reed and then, you know, Deion Sanders and all the guys. That was great. Hey, let's keep this going. Number 7, Penn State. And number 3, Ohio State. JK, I'm sure you got something to say about this one.
I mean, do I? Because, I mean, I think you already know where this is headed. Like,
James Frank was calling in and saying things might be different.
Well, James Franklin will still have to prove it to me because James Franklin doesn't win a whole lot of big games. With that being said, that Penn State roster he has is really loaded. Drew Allard, I believe, is the quarterback. They're playing a good defense. They haven't played anybody quite yet. Not anybody as explosive as Ohio State is. This is a rivalry game. You know, I hate that they're playing at noon. It would be better if it's a 3:30 or a 7:30 game. But I'm gonna go with Ohio State. I just feel like they kind of have his number right now. It's not going to be a blowout. It's going to be a nip-and-tuck game. I think if the, you know, college football has their troubles, and I honestly think, watching objectively, that we might get, like, version 2 of what we got from Seattle and Oregon. It's going to be nip-and-tuck, back and forth. My team will have some momentum. No team will get some momentum. I think Ohio State wins there at home. With that, at Happy Valley again, I'd be a little bit more hesitant, but, you know, I'm not going to come up here and pick against Ohio State. So, come on, man. It's going to be really imperative, though, that the Buckeyes get Trevion Henderson back, that they get Mbuka back. And that's definitely the underrated part of it. They've got to get Denzel Burke back because he got hurt in that game and didn't come back. I'm pretty sure they just held him out. They didn't really need him against Purdue. But it's those weapons that Penn State has and that Vonick, also Penn State running game. They need all the top glove defenders available for that game. So, again, he's hopefully going to play. That's Brian Day said that. But, yeah, I'm going to take the Buckeyes. I think it's a field goal game.
Oh, yeah. Y'all can be Purdue with Andre at cornerback, man. So, yeah, you didn't need him enough.
I'm going with the Buckeyes.
Yep. Buckeyes here in this game. I agree. I look forward to be like a 7-point win. I'm going to go 30-23 Ohio State.
Good stuff. Robbie, talk about this.
Here's that.
What were you saying, Vicky?
I kind of I wonder if it gets that high because I think both of those defensive players at a high level, they're going to give up some points, but 30 and 23 might be a lot. I don't know what the weather's going to be, and I need to look that up because that also will have an effect definitely on the Ohio State passing attack.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to stop you, Trey.
No, you're good. I just want to make sure we got that thought in. So it's funny, Rob, you talked about this, your guy that's a diehard Tennessee fan. We're going to talk about number 17 Tennessee at number 11 Alabama. I played Rocky Top twice this weekend at weddings because both of the grooms were you know, Tennessee fans, you know. So again, they were just yelling.
That's an aggravating song.
Singing. Most, you know, it's just something that's seared into my memory. It's better than the Georgia song. But again, hold on the conversation. So let's talk about this game. This is an interesting game. Tennessee is going to Alabama at this time. So Rob, what say you on this one? Is this an opportunity for Tennessee to do an upset, or what do we have for this one?
You know, think about that Rocky Top song, man. They could be losing 54-0, man. They just keep playing it and keep playing it and keep playing it and keep
playing it. It's like annoying.
Oh,
like a lot of
my God.
They're like,
anyway,
if you're going to hear this song, you're going to get the song seared in your head. So that is a strategy. I know for a fact that is a strategy. It's kind of like killing with kindness or Chinese water torture,
water,
whatever you want to call it.
I was going to say it's waterboarding. You beat me to it. I'm up there water for it.
Oh, you got a super good catch up, man. Rocky Top.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh,
hell no.
God.
Let's get through this topic. Let's go ahead, Rob, so we can stop talking about Tim saying Rocky Top.
Yeah, JQ got it on the playlist, man. Working out to all right, we'll get to the game.
Back
here.
This real fast.
But this is a very interesting game. You know, Tennessee's defensive line has really been playing well here the last few weeks. You know, the pass rush has gotten better. Joe Milton is, you know, off 1 week, on the next week. He's very inconsistent at the quarterback position. He's got a ton of talent. There's no question. The kid can throw the ball 90 to 100 yards. He can run it. He just doesn't have the accuracy yet. And Jalen Milroe is kind of the same, you know. But one thing I will say about Jalen is he can throw the long ball, and Alabama's got the weapons. I think this past weekend he only had 10 completions. But all of them were like downfield completions and in that game. So I'm going to go this Nick Saban team is kind of like all old Alabama team. They're playing defense. They're keeping teams under 20 points. And they get just enough offense to win games. So I think it's going to be the same playbook in this week. I'm going to go with the exact same score they beat Arkansas this weekend, 24-21, close game, but Alabama wins at home.
You know I'm not going to pick anybody not named Georgia and in other years, maybe LSU, to go into Tuscaloosa and win that game. I'm just a non-believer. Texas surprised me, but that's a better Texas team than, you know, I had to give them some credit for this year for that game and then playing Oklahoma tough. But, yeah, man, I've seen Milton in Michigan. That's why he ain't in Michigan no more. That's why he had to leave to go to Tennessee. So there's a reason for that. You don't necessarily just transfer if you're the starting quarterback in Michigan to go to Tennessee. It's a lateral move at best, right? So that tells you what you need to know. I look at the Alabama team, and they started off slow, but I think Milroy's starting to figure it out. It's like that defense is starting to figure out with the run defense. I feel like they're ascending, right? I'm going to go with Alabama. I think it's going to be a close game. They don't have the capability, I don't think, to blow out a decent team like they did before. They're not there yet to me, at least at this point in the season. But they have enough with his, like you said, those weapons and his scrambling ability to make something out of nothing. Mm-hmm. He's really Jalen Hurts-esque. In terms of his scrambling ability, kind of built a real similar too. So I'm going to go with Alabama in the close game over Tennessee. Because remember, people used to say Jalen Hurts couldn't throw the ball too, but he was still winning games. He got this into it, but he was winning games. So
I'm going with Alabama as well. Alabama at home, they're still hard to beat.
Yep.
Gary, we're going to talk about the JQ's second favorite team, Michigan, at Michigan State. And, you know, with everything that's happening with Michigan State and Mel Tucker, and that's another cluster, Michigan should go in here and dominate. You know, obviously J.J. McCarthy's playing well. So this should be a pretty – I'm not going to say, you know, like I said, it's college football. But, yeah, they should handle Michigan State without any trouble, I think. So.
Yeah, this will be a rout. Yeah, I don't even have to put a score on it. It's going to be a rout, and Michigan dominates on the road.
Yep.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a little
time
where you start out slow because you're on the road. Yeah, they used to be a rivalry. Yeah, that's a cakewalk.
Yeah, that's a bye week for them. That's a practice game. This is going to be could be 25 or 30 point blowout.
Or more.
Let's keep it going here. This is another interesting game, right? So we talk about the ascension of Duke. We talk about how great Florida State is, Jalen Daniels. JQ is shaking his head. So we think this is going to be a situation where Florida State is going to establish their dominance. Does Duke kind of – is this kind of like a game where Duke wants to see kind of where they are, the measuring stick of where the program is? You know, at this juncture, you know, Florida State is the fourth-ranked team. Can Duke pose enough to – is it a threat? Is Florida State overlooking them? This is a trap game. I say, what do you say on this one, guys? Who wants to take this first?
I got to stop this shit. You know that Duke is not going to go into Doe Campbell beat Florida State. If y'all don't stop that, that is not getting ready to happen. This is at least a 10-point game. Stop it. Duke is cute. They're nice. They're 15th. Come on.
I got Florida State by 10, actually. I think Florida State wins 30-20. I think Duke keeps the game close for a while, maybe into the third quarter, but Florida State talent will prevail. Duke's a very disciplined football team on the defensive side of the football. They're well coached. They don't have the best athletes, but they're a very disciplined defensive team. They make, you know, all the right moves, all the right angles. They're very smart on that end. But Florida State talent is going to prevail in the end and win at home.
Yeah, I'm picking Florida State in this one, and it's going to be by 2 touchdowns.
Agreed. So
you know,
that's Texas and O's, is what? The Willies and the Joes. And Florida State's got too many Willies and the Joes that Duke does not have.
Yep.
There it is.
But there will be a lot of NFL scouts here this game. Jordan Travis and Riley Leonard are both somewhere in that third to fifth round right now when you look at quarterbacks into the draft, so they're mid-rounders. So there'll be a lot of scouts checking them up. Of course, Jared Verse and Keon Coleman, those guys are first-round picks for Florida State. So be definitely a lot of NFL scouts at this game.
Let's wrap it up. Number 14, Utah versus number 18, USC. Woo! All right. Let's say you.
I tell you what. This one has been a hard one for me to predict, and I'll tell you why. USC defense is one of the worst in the country, and I saw that week one when I was playing San Jose State.
Trash.
And so, you know, we talked about Oklahoma and how their defense improved, Brent Venables from year one to year two. Lincoln Riley's defense may have gotten worse, and they hit the transfer portal tremendously from year to year. The only reason why I think USC still has a good chance of winning this game, Utah just can't score enough points. And Utah's defense is one of the best in the country. But I just don't know if they can score enough points to beat USC. So I think
even against
that
USC defense,
close.
Even against that USC defense, Rob?
Even against that USC defense.
Yeah,
I just don't know if Utah's offense is capable of scoring enough points. That, I mean, I tell you – probably the last 2 days I was leaning more toward Utah, but the more I thought about this matchup, I mean, they still don't have Cam Rising in Utah. Maybe if Utah is right, I probably would pick Utah.
Right.
But I'm gonna pick USC in the close one here, 24-20 USC.
Right.
Go ahead, Gary.
Oh, I'm going just the opposite of that. I think that Utah will have just enough to beat that horrible USC defense. So I am picking Utah to win. They'll probably win by three. I don't think either team is what they were. Utah's not what they were a few years ago. Their defense is excellent, and I think they're going to win the game.
Wow.
You know, I was with you, Rob. I go on both ways. I think one Cam Rising, two. I think if USC had won that game against Notre Dame and won it by like 7 to 10 points and came in feeling real good about themselves, I think it would have been hard for them to flush that Notre Dame game and get themselves ready for Utah. And I might have picked Utah because they really came in there. Everybody's telling them how good they are, patting them on the back, and Utah would have maybe stuck up on them because of that defense. But after what happened in South Bend, I think they come out with a whole lot to prove. And two, this game reminds me of that Ohio State-Utah Rose Bowl 2 years ago, where the Ohio State defense wasn't really great that year either. They gave up a lot of points. They let Michigan just run all roughshod over them. And Utah came out and punched them in the mouth. But those offensive weapons for Ohio State came to the party. Jackson Smith and Jigba went for like 200 yards in that game. That's when they had, I think, a lot of them didn't play. But he went nuts. And I feel like that's the kind of game we're going to get with USC and Utah this week, where Utah may come out and hit them in the mouth a little bit. But I think Caleb Williams says, hey, man, no, not 2 weeks in a row. I'm still that guy. We still got these dudes out here on the outside, and they come and they win that game by four.
Good stuff. All right, we're moving on. Let's get it going. Rob, we got to quickly talk about the top five QBs in college football. You and Gary can handle this, and this is going to be interesting because hopefully, I don't know if it sets the stage for the NFL draft, but just kind of your thoughts on this as well as we kind of wrap this up too. So go ahead, guys.
Well, this is not how I think that they're going to get going order of the draft. But, you know, I mentioned this earlier. I think Michael Penix Jr. is having the best season so far in college football at the quarterback position. And he's somewhere mid to late first round. But I think he's definitely been the best quarterback. I got Caleb Williams number two right now, even though he had a really rough game. Notre Dame put all kind of pressure on him and forced him into some bad throws in that game on Saturday night. Got a chance to see Drake May in person on Saturday night. Really impressive with Tez Walker throwing a deep ball, getting the football. That's a big weapon that North Carolina has now in that offense. He had 3 touchdowns. So I got Drake May at number 3. I got Bo Nix at number 4, even though they lost to Washington. I thought he played really well. Oregon, man, what were they, 0-for-3 on 4 downs in that game? They left a lot of points on the field in that game. A lot of missed opportunities. They definitely could have won that game at Seattle's. And number 5, I really could put him higher on this, but I don't want to sound too biased. I got to go with Jaden Daniels. I sent y'all a picture of the stats he's been putting up. It's been flat out sensational. Definitely moving up the draft board as well. I got him to the 2nd round now. So we'll see where that takes him going forward and see how well he does against Alabama in a couple of weeks too.
Well, I've got the same top 3, actually top 4. The only difference is my 5th is the Florida State quarterback, Travis. I've got him in the 5th spot. Other than that, we're exactly the same, Rob.
I'm just glad y'all didn't fucking say J.J. McCarthy, so I am good with those 5. Let's go.
Although McCarthy, he's more highly rated from a draft perspective than a lot of these guys.
Yeah, fuck him.
Yeah.
Wow. I love it. Hey, we're ready to talk about the top 5 teams in the NFL. And this is, all the teams that I've picked are 5-1. Alas, there are no more undefeated teams in the league. But, the top teams I have, anyone, you're probably going to have different orders based upon everyone's opinions, if you will. My top 5, I've got, you said it earlier, Gary, the team you love to hate, the 49ers. I know it was a tough loss against the Browns, but again, they just have been dominant, if you will. And obviously ran into a little buzzsaw. Brock Purdy didn't have his best game against that really great Cleveland defense, but I still got the number 1. Number 2, I still have the Dolphins at this juncture too. Obviously, the running game has been outstanding. Tua still in. How the hell they got Chase Claypool again? I mean, we talked about how that dude is a head case, but what is he running, like a 4.3 something nuts? So you keep adding speed to that. Still gets more scarier too.
Unbelievable.
Getting even more scarier with what they already have. I've got the Eagles at number 3. I'm going to actually put the Lions at number 4, and we'll talk about, are they for real coming up? They have a really big game against the Ravens, and they just keep winning, so Lions are doing good stuff. The reason why I've got the Chiefs at number 5 is because they keep winning, but there's something off of the Chiefs. But again, they're Super Bowl champions.
Yeah,
that's just kind of based upon that position. Taylor Swift in there. But that's what I've got as far as my top 5, too, as far as the all these teams are 5-1. I know you kind of go against that, too, but that's what I've got for my top 5.
Well, I obviously have the same 5 teams, just not in that exact order. Obviously, there are 5 teams that are 5-1. There are a lot of teams in the league 3-3, so a lot of parity in the NFL. But obviously, these are the 5 teams that are 5-1. Are y'all ready for my number 1? Can I get a drum roll, please? The Detroit Lions at the number 1 spot.
You are a damn... Stop
and
that shit.
I tell you why. There's 5-5-1 teams. The Lions are the only one to beat one of the other 5-1 teams, and they beat them on the road in Kansas City. When you look at the way this team is playing defense, they're playing phenomenal defense. They did lose to the Seahawks at home, so they at least lost to a winning team. They didn't lose to a team with backup quarterbacks like the Eagles and the 49ers did this past weekend. So I got the Lions at the number 1 spot. I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl. We're just looking at their body of work in the first 6 games. They're the only team to beat another team with 5 wins. They didn't lose to a quarterback with a backup quarterback. They didn't lose to a team with a backup quarterback in games that they should have won. The 49ers and the Eagles both should have won those games this past weekend against a backup quarterback. So I got the Lions at the number 1 spot. I got the Dolphins number 2. I mean, they did lose to the Buffalo on the road. But the Dolphins offensively are just putting up historic numbers right now. So I got the Dolphins number two. I got the Chiefs number three. The interesting thing about the Chiefs team this year is their defense. The defense is playing extremely well. So a lot of improvement on that side of the ball. I got the 49ers four and have the Eagles five. Shame on them for losing against teams with backup quarterbacks.
Well,
yeah, but they lost to Cleveland, which that's only given up 77 points all year. 77! Like, okay, go ahead.
Can't
Gary.
TJ Walker.
I told you he was, man, I told you, man, he was out there taking shots and smoking that tweed before he got on the show tonight. Go ahead, Gary.
You know, I've got the same five as well, but it's nothing like Rodgers. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah, Detroit is having a great season, and they're going to be hard to beat. They're going to be a scary team. But the 49ers are number one.
Correct.
And I believe the Dolphins are number two. I have Detroit at three. I got Philly at four. And I've got Kansas City at five. So I've got the same teams, but mine is a little more realistic, Rob.
Yeah, Rob.
Hey,
I'm
not saying Detroit's going to win the Super Bowl. I'm going off of body of work in the first 6 weeks. Their resume so far, I mean, 49ers and Eagles lost the team with a backup quarterback. And you're so great. How do you lose the team with a backup quarterback? It's unacceptable.
They would have won if they kicked the field goal, man. But still, I get you. I mean, it is what it is.
Could have, should have, would have.
I know. I'm just saying. Well, you know, it wasn't like they got blown out. Like, it was a close game. You know, mm-hmm. Hey, you know. But I get you.
And
it's all good.
Yeah. Okay, but
it can't lose to PJ Walker.
Okay. Yeah. You talked about Cleveland, which clearly the best defense in the league, and it's just we all talked about coming into the season how much we respected their defense, and them having Aaron Rodgers who just put them over the top. So it wasn't like they went out there and lost to the Broncos. So let's not, you know what I mean? Like, let's not get carried away with it. They lost the team with some good defenses. Like, so let's simmer that. I hear what you're saying. It sounds good in theory, but if you go deeper into it, they played some good defenses, and it was horrible weather also in Cleveland for that game. And I believe in New York it was also raining that weekend, too. I'm going to go with San Francisco. I just believe that San Francisco is the best team in football. I do. I'm going to go with the Dolphins. I'm giving their love. Tyreek is having a ridiculous year on track for like 2,300 yards. That's just stupid.
Unbelievable.
At three,
he's got 800-some yards in six games.
Yeah. It's I struggle with three and four. You can put them in any order to me between the Eagles. To me, the Eagles and the Chiefs. I'm going to put the Lions at five because this is what I would say. Kansas City didn't have Travis Kelce, but if the gambler in me, I don't take straight up money line. I wouldn't take right now and say, oh, if Detroit played one of those four teams this week, I wouldn't take Detroit to win that game. So I can't put them above those four teams in the rankings because I just don't believe they're going to beat Kansas City again. They beat the Chiefs without Travis Kelce. And Travis Kelce is everything for that offense. He sets everybody else up. Not having Travis Kelce in the opener is a big deal. And I'm going
to
give that the credit.
Home field
he deserves. Travis Kelce is everything for that Kansas City offense. So they decided to go get a real number one wide receiver. That happened to Travis Kelce. I mean, Mahomes got magic, but he didn't have enough magic that night. So I'm going to give Detroit credit for doing what they were supposed to do by beating Kansas City without Travis Kelce. But I'm saying right now, with Travis Kelce back, he participated in practice fully for the first time since hurting that ankle. I don't think that I would, if we were doing these predictions, I would say, damn, Detroit to beat Kansas City, Detroit to beat Philadelphia, Detroit to beat San Francisco, Detroit to beat Miami. I just don't know if I would be able to, in good conscience, make that argument. So that's why I'm not taking anything from them. They just are the bottom of the five in that tier, separated from everybody else, though. That's just me.
Yeah. Hey, that logic completely makes sense to me. I was listening to you speak, and, man, that was spot on because as I was thinking about what you were saying, I wouldn't either. Detroit over any of these teams either. So that analogy is really good.
And like you said, until Travis Swift gets his act together, you know, and gets on the field, it's going to be a whole other conversation. Man. So it's all good, man. So there you go, man.
Travis Swift, huh?
Damn, boy. He get paid though. He on every commercial.
Yeah, everyone. Let's talk about really quickly. Is Justin Herbert underachieving in big games. And I'm going to kind of tie two things together because I know we're getting close to, like, the end of the show. And it also ties into the fact that Brandon Staley is kind of he's on the hot seat, right? Because he's talked about Herbert came up big whenever they needed the Chargers. The Chargers needed, you know, game-winning drives in late quarter. But so right now, he's not getting that clutch team back for some reason. And I think it's definitely tied to coaching at this juncture because, again, they needed a field goal to kind of get at least to kind of force the game into overtime against the Cowboys. And what happened, he was picked off by Stephen Gilmore, great play. And obviously that sealed Dallas' victory. And then, again, you know, he did some things, but we talked about consistency. And then all of their losses have been, we talked about, their three losses have been a total of 8 points. You know, he did some things against Tennessee, but then he had a three and out. Then, you know, again, the Chargers turned it over versus the Dolphins. I mean, there's all these different things that are happening. So right now it does appear like Herbert is definitely underachieving, but I'm going to assign that to the coaching staff because this is a clearly talented guy, man. If you are the Chargers, your future is bright. I think you have your quarterback position solved. They're not running the ball as much as, you know, Eckler, you know, a couple plays, but there's something with coaching, man, because you got a lot of talent right now, and you got a defense, you got Khalil Mack, you got some players, man. So I think squarely the situation is coaching, putting that guy in a position to be successful. That's what I'm thinking as far as why he's underachieving from that perspective.
No, that's a good point. I think that's a very good analogy there. He's underachieving, but so is the entire football team there. So, yeah, that's the direct tie into coaching. But, you know, they go into Jacksonville last year. They blow, what, a 28-29-point lead. They lose that game in the playoffs. So, yeah, he's definitely, underachieving. Didn't play well the other night against Dallas either. So he's definitely underachieving in big time games. But as you mentioned, a lot of that's a direct tie to coaching because their entire team is underachieving. We've said this for 3 or 4 years now, how talented their roster is, and they're just still not getting over the hump.
Well, I would say that really head coach and offensive coordinator are doing that team no favors whatsoever.
Correct.
And it's too bad because, you know, these quarterbacks or these athletes, they just have so many years to get this shit done, you know, to make their legacy. And when you have to deal with a guy that's definitely on the hot seat, if Staley isn't fired this year, man.
He's in the last year of his contract, though. He's got one year left of his deal. I don't know. I think it's this season.
I would let him go now.
Yeah, that's it.
If they don't at least win a playoff game this year, he's gone. They got to at least go to the playoffs and win a game. If that doesn't happen this year, he's gone. That's for sure. It's one less coach to talk about.
I'm with you, Dre. To me, every game, not every other game or every third game, every game, Brandon Staley makes a decision that costs his team points, and then you look up and they lose by less than a touchdown in those games, and you're like, that's on the coaching staff. Could, in some of those instances, could he make a better throw? Maybe. Is Kellen Moore dialing up the right play? Not all the time. So you're asking Justin Herbert to do heroic things, but he shouldn't always have to keep doing heroic things. Like, coach, take 3 points. It's fucking allowed to kick a field goal. It is allowed. Kick it. Get the points, put it on the board. Don't make bullhead mistakes. Don't go for it on 4th and 2 in your own end. Like, what are you doing? You did that against Minnesota. Like, what are you doing? You're putting your team at a disadvantage by being too aggressive. And to me, that directly affects Justin Herbert and probably the pressure he feels always has to be perfect because he knows his coach. Yeah, you feel like he's got my back, he's going to go for it. But, man, it's probably in the best decision. So I got to play out of my mind because he's going to make some decisions that just don't make sense. So I do agree that he's underachieved a bit, but I'm with you, Rookie Al. I feel like his coaches are putting him in a bad spot. He's taking a lion's share of that blame in games that they shouldn't even have been in that position if it had not been bonehead decisions by Brandon Staley. Take the damn
Gary,
point.
Are you missing Are you missing Kellen Moore yet,
the
Gary?
Calling
are you missing Kellen Moore,
in these scenarios. It's the play calling in these scenarios. You know, you're like, okay, it's 4th and 2. Why in the hell did you call this play? You know, it's not only now, I like Kellen Moore, I liked him with the Cowboys. I think he was a better offensive coordinator than what we got right now in our head coach.
Wow.
That's for sure.
Wow.
Well, I mean, if you all you have to do is look at the red zone. You know, when we're 30th in the league or 28th in the league in the red zone, and with Kellen Moore, we were number one in the red zone. So, I mean, that's proof in the pudding. Now, this is a whole different scenario. I don't know what his, you know, how much, you know, the head coach has influence in, on all of this sort of thing, but you got to blame some of it on the offensive coordinator, whether they just fire the head coach and bring in another guy and he wants to keep Kellen Moore, that might be one thing. But you got to get rid of that head coach because he's making piss-poor decisions.
Terrible calls.
He'll make a shitty decision this week, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's the thing.
And that's
like
even if he's on the bye.
I mean, that's funny. That's funny, Gary. But this is the situation, too, where you, like, it's kind of similar to Buffalo, where you're putting everything on, like, Josh Allen, and you want to trust the running game because you got to run the ball, man. I mean, that's something that I don't care who you are, that's going to lead to success, too. And so I don't know why they're not, you know, again, you got Austin Eckler, do some things with him. I mean, you got enough, you know, talent, but you just want to, like, I know I got Herbert, he can throw the ball. Maybe he's excited because he's not Dak Prescott. I don't know what the deal is, but it's just like it's not adding up with all that talent you have, and this team is looking like they're barely eking by. It's terrible, so it's not a good situation at all.
Mm-hmm.
So let's kind of keep on.
Point
I do want
to
get
around
to
for everybody.
Absolutely. I do want to get to the predictions. Maybe we'll have a short OT, but let's talk about some of these predictions. And I know we can talk about some coaching. Well, we'll talk about that forever, too. But let's talk about some really big games here coming on. And there's three of them. So we got to talk about the Lions and the Ravens. And this is an interesting game, right? So the Lions' schedule is pretty interesting after this particular game because they've got I was looking at their schedule.
They can
do some damage here. Yeah, they got the freaking North, and they got the Bears. They got, you know, again, they got the Chargers. They got to figure out that. The Chargers can figure themselves out. You know, they got the Broncos. They got a division rival and the Vikings twice, and they have the next game is right in between the Cowboys, and they may put some people on rest. But right now, it's going to be interesting what the Lions can do after this particular game. So, this is a shot for them. I don't know if you guys think they're legitimate already. And JQ, you made some good points earlier. Would you bet against them against the other teams? But the Ravens are legitimate. So if they can pull off this, I wonder what we're going to say about the Lions. This is a huge game, but it is at the Ravens. So, I mean, I'll let you handle this, JQ, because I want to hear your thoughts on this and see if this is a game right here. This is a game right here.
Yeah, and that Ravens defense is going to challenge them, right? I feel like I want the Lions to win. I just don't think they are going to win. I think that Ravens defense is nasty and it's salty, and they're going to be mad based off what happened again in that Pittsburgh game. They got a good win over across the pond, but they know, right, what's the narrative is on them right now. They know they can beat win these games, but can Lamar Jackson now win these big games too? So being at home, I really do. I think they found a way. With the way that Ravens defense is playing, as much as I hate their freaking guts, I'm going to go with the Ravens in that game. I think they're going to slow that game down and punch Detroit in the mouth. And I know Detroit feels like they're physical, but that AFC North, you can talk about the Browns, the defense, and Steelers, and the Ravens, that defense is going to come and get real super physical with you. So I don't know if they are ready for that level of physicality quite yet. We're going to find out. I wouldn't be surprised if they won. I just feel like the Ravens win a close game. Another one of those Justin Tucker field goal games.
I think this is going to be a real physical football game. I think Detroit's going to bring the physicality as well. I agree that the Ravens' defense is definitely one of the best in the league. Hey, I've been benefiting them in fantasy with having them in one of my leagues, so I definitely see what they're going to bring to the table. I think this is going to be a really close game, going to be a really physical game. The Ravens' passing game is pathetic. It's 26th in the NFL. And they're not going to be able to outscore this Lions team. So I'm going to go Lions on the road, 19-16. They're going to match the Ravens' physicality. The Ravens can't – Lamar Jackson can't hit the side of a barn. All his weapons are hurt. Zay Flowers is playing well as a rookie. But they're 26th in the league in the passing game. And if you look at, these Ravens are what, 3-2, I believe, so far this year. And they have not been impressive other than their defense. I mean, they really have not been very impressive overall. So I like the Lions to go. They beat the Bucs on the road. They beat the Chiefs on the road. They're going to go beat the Ravens on the road.
Is that you, Jim Caldwell?
Well, I think that the Ravens are going to ugly it up. I think that Lamar's going to do just enough to get the job done. I don't think that, as good as the Lions are, I still, they still have they still have Gulf in the quarterback. And he just, he scares me.
Wow.
Even though he's playing good right now, he's doing, but I think that at some point the wheels are going to, at some point the wheels are going to fall off. Could be this week.
He's going to get his own philosophy. Usually he picks a better quarterback.
I like the Ravens.
One of them's got an MVP and one of them don't.
They've uglied it up for years, right? They've punched people in the mouth and – Lamar's.
Dan Campbell's got that team playing nasty up there.
He can't throw the ball, but he can run 60 yards for a score. So, I think that's how
it's
going to be.
They were who we thought they were. No, on a serious note, this is the game. Like, if the Lions pull this win off, they will be legitimate. I know there's a lot riding on that. But, again, the Ravens aren't going to sit back and, you got to earn this one. I think it's going to be a close game. I do agree with you, JQ. If the Lions can pull it off, then they have capability. But again, like you said, it's the Ravens, man. They've been doing this for years.
1916.
All their division is rough, man. So the Lions are trying to
be
get some
pretty.
Respect. And like
1916.
Yeah, no,
it's
going to
be interesting. Let's see if we got some time to finish in really quickly, Rob. We got the Jaguars at your Saints. I know there's a lot of challenges going on with Derek Carr and. Same can be said about,
and the offensive line.
Trevor Lawrence, he's up, inconsistencies and everything like that. But you got to get us in a quick minute, Rob, before we get ready to the OC. Go ahead, my guy.
Well, hey, you guys know how I normally feel about these Thursday night games. But if you throw out week one of this year, I'm going to throw out the Chiefs and the Lions because, that was week one. They didn't have to travel on a short week. So in the other five Thursday night games this year, the home team has won three out of those five. So you start to see some of these road teams play a little bit better in these Thursday night games. So, and the way I look at this game, if Trevor Lawrence is healthy and he's playing, I actually think Jacksonville comes on the road and beat the Saints tomorrow night. I'm in New Orleans now. I'll be at the game. The Saints got two starting offensive linemen out and a reserve offensive lineman out, and the offensive line wasn't playing that great when they were healthy. So now you're down three offensive linemen, and they weren't playing that great. So if Trevor Lawrence is healthy and playing, I think the Jaguars come in New Orleans and they beat the Saints on tomorrow night, 24-17 Jacksonville. Now, if Trevor Lawrence doesn't play, the Saints should win this game. They got JQ as backup quarterback. You can't lose the backup quarterback like this. You can't lose the backup quarterback like the 49ers and the Browns did. The 49ers and the Eagles did. So that's where I stand on that.
I agree with that now.
Ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music. That's the end of our live portion on tonight. We're going to be back at you on next Wednesday night. Miami, we want to hear from y'all on that high-flying offense, 11 p.m. Eastern time next week on Wednesday night. New Orleans, Chicago, Milwaukee, Green Bay, it's going to be 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. And Jordan Love to answer. Up in Green Bay, in the Mountain Time Zone, Denver, Nuggets, can y'all repeat? I think y'all going to win the West again. It's going to be 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. In Los Angeles, Fresno, San Francisco, it's going to be 8 p.m. on the West Coast. Good night, Pete.
Man, I just want to say, hey, DK Metcalf, you got to relax, bro. You got to relax. You see what he did against our cornerback? He just came and just ran him out to the play. I said, what are you doing? I ain't going to change who I am. Okay, DK, you're going to be about to leave me the bullshit. But, no, I'm with you on that, Rob. I feel the same. When I saw the offensive lineman for the Saints, I was like, oh, boy. They saying that Trevor Lawrence is going to play. He's going to wear a big knee brace. So he may not have his mobility, you know, that element of the game. But if their car is still banged up, and then you give him, like you said, backup offensive lineman, and that Jaguars defense isn't playing bad, actually.
They're going to get the pass right against the run, which is interesting, or one of those.
And they've won three on the road. They got a nice little roll going here, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Jack. Okay, I think Trevor Lawrence is going to play. And those injuries line, I think, is the difference in the game.
I'm going with the Jags as well.
Rob,
I think it's going to be a close one. Go ahead.
You think it's going to be closer, Gary? You think it's going to be closer than what we're thinking? Yeah? Okay.
It's going to be like watching paint dry. It's not going to be great aesthetically. He knows it.
Bum fight.
The Saints' only hope is the defense keeps them in the game and force the turnover.
Bum fight. Yes, sir.
Rob, is Dennis Allen on the hot seat as well, my guy?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I said this before the season. I said this, the Saints doesn't make the playoffs, then he's got to go because the organization did everything that he wanted, right? He paid Derek Carr. He went out and got his own defensive coordinator and Joe Woods. So whatever he wanted, the organization went out and did it this offseason, right? So I personally think he's definitely on the hot seat if they don't make the playoffs, no doubt about it.
And they're very winnable division.
Yep.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
I mean, they're not out of it. I mean, what, they're 3-3? I mean, the Bucs are
3-2. 3-3.
I mean, even with losing the game tomorrow night, I mean, they're definitely not out of it. I mean, the personnel is there. I mean, they got to get healthy. I mean, they're definitely not out of it. But, no, if they don't make the playoffs, he's definitely on a hot seat. I mean, hey, Bill Belichick is on a hot seat, right? And this could very well be his last year. Mike McCarthy. I think if Dallas don't make it to the NFC Championship game, I think McCarthy could be out. Josh McDaniels.
No, you do not.
Frank Wright?
No, they ain't. No, they ain't. For another organization, maybe. He's the perfect head coach to let Jerry Jones be the de facto head coach and have his radio show and talk reckless and then have him take all the arrows. Nobody else really wants to do that with Jerry Jones. Mike McCarthy is not going nowhere. You know I'm telling the truth. He's the de facto head coach. And a strong head coach doesn't want to have to deal with Jerry's ass second-guessing him on a radio show every damn week and coming down there and talking to him like he really knows what's going on. That's why you keep what's that dude's name? That left blind-haired dude that was 8-8 every year. That's why you keep him that long. That's why you keep Mike McCarthy. I mean, it's what it is. Jason Garrett is what I'm looking for. Like, he's not going to go get a real strong, fiery dude because they're going to butt heads. Redhead, sorry. You know what the hell I was talking about. But point is, he's not going to go get somebody that's going to challenge him a whole lot. Mike McCarthy's going to challenge him a whole lot. Who's the real last coach that challenged him? Parcells? How long ago was that? Like, I just don't see that being a thing that I just don't see that being a thing that Jerry Jones is going to go get somebody that's going to challenge his authority like that. That's why I don't think Mike McCarthy's in trouble.
Yeah. We talked about Brandon Staley already. Ron Rivera, I think, is another one.
Yep.
Kevin Stefanski.
Hell yeah.
And then you can – and check almost the whole NFC South. Todd Bowles, Dennis Allen, Arthur Smith, everybody but Frank Wright.
Freaking Arthur Smith. That dude needs to go somewhere. That's some bullshit right now, man. We're pissed, man.
You can't put that on Kevin Stefanski.
Rob, did you mention Ron Rivera?
I did. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I put the Bears coach too. Mike Eberitz, I put him down. Frank Wright actually outside looking in because that's some bullshit what's happening in Carolina. But that's one of the conversation too. They didn't think they were gonna be that disgusting, but you know.
About the Carolina, if they stay with the worst record in the league, their draft pick goes to Chicago. They don't even get the number one pick.
That's terrible.
Chicago have 1-2 the way they're going.
1-2. Mm-hmm. They're like, yes.
Possibly.
They're like, you can
I think right now it would be 1-5.
Mm-hmm. 1-5? Okay.
Oh, yeah, we keep forgetting about the Broncos. Sorry, asses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gary, you okay with everything that JQ said? You okay with it?
Sure.
It's not a knock on his team, but he knows who Jerry Jones is, being a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. He wants to be the coach. If he really thought he could go down there and coach and be the owner, he would do that shit. But what other owner gets on the radio every week and talks about the X's and the O's other than Jerry Jones? That's what I'm saying. Like, it's hard if you go get a coach that we all get here and say, you know what, that's a good coach. I could get behind him. That dude is not going to want to have to deal with Jerry Jones like that. I just don't believe that. I could be wrong. I'll get on here and say I'm wrong if it happens. I don't know that a head coach would be looking like, man, that's a great hire, unless he's a young whippersnapper looking to cut his teeth and would take anything. But an established veteran head coach that wants to do things his way and feel like he has a proven track record, I just don't feel like he's going to want to do that with Jerry Jones.
I agree.
Well, there was a thing on the Cowboys that was – well, it was a thing on Bill Parcells, and they had a big thing on him, and they mentioned that. They mentioned, well, how did you get along with Jerry Jones? And did you ever – was there ever times when – you yelled at Jerry Jones? He said, I yelled at Jerry Jones to get his ass off of my practice field many times. So, you know, and he said, well, would he leave? And he said, yeah, he left. When I told him to leave, he left. Now, that was Bill Parcells. Mike McCarthy and his, you know, he doesn't have that size of testicles in his pants. They're really, really small. So he's just not going to do that. So
no, he doesn't have Parcells cachet. No, not without a doubt. But I'm saying, though, I don't think he wouldn't hire anybody else since then that had the balls to get off into the practice field. And that's what got my point being of would he do that and compromise, you know, a little bit of his ego to hopefully get that Super Bowl he wants before he goes. So everything he's done up until now says no. So unless he has an epiphany, I'm still going to go with the track record.
Let's wrap this up really quickly, guys. All right, last game. This is the game I've been waiting to kind of talk about, the Dolphins at the Eagles. You know, is it a Super Bowl preview? Now, again, we talked about it could be the 49ers and the Dolphins or whatever, but this is an interesting situation here because this is you got a great offense versus a really good defense. So this is a kind of a must-see TV game. So what say you guys? This is a really good primetime matchup here. So what say you, Rob? I'm going to kind of start with you, my guy.
Well, you know, the Dolphins came to Buffalo a few weeks ago, and I think all of you all picked the Dolphins to go on the road, and I was the only one.
Sure did.
I guess that's the highlight.
Sure did. That's right.
And
that's right.
You wouldn't remember that.
It's kind of like
the remember if the Lions we'll get their asses kicked too, by the way.
We'll see if the – and I think I was the only one to pick the Lions over the Chiefs in week one, two, and Gary and Andre picked the Chiefs. I think JQ won on the show that week.
Yeah.
So
if Kadarius is the Lions, a lot of is a whole other conversation.
We'll see if the Lions and the Ravens turn out to be the same way on Sunday. So, but if I'm wrong, I'll be the first to admit it, though. But anyway, getting back to this game here, hey, I really like this Dolphins team. I really do. Just like when they went on the road against the Bills, I just think it's going to be tough for them to go on Philly and win this game. And I think the Dolphins, even with losing this game, is a legit Super Bowl contender on their offense. I just think going into Philly is just going to be tough. Just like it was going into Buffalo. I don't think they'll lose by 28 like they did against Buffalo or Buffalo. You know, I look at this game, I think it's going to be a close game. I'm going to go with Eagles 30, Miami 24. I think it's going to be a close game. Miami's going to be a little competitive. I mean, Miami was competitive against Buffalo in the playoffs with a third-string quarterback. I think this coach, Mike McDaniel, he's going to motivate this team to be competitive. But I just think they're going to come up a little short against Philly on the road.
I keep going back and forth on it. The thing that pushes me to pick Philadelphia in this game is that I believe that Philadelphia's front four can do enough, and maybe with the fifth guy to, one, get pressure on Tua, but two, slow down that Miami running game, because that Miami running game going crazy sets everything else up with the play action pass. And we all sit there and say, how the hell is Tyreek Hill getting open like that? Well, when you're getting gashed and you start creeping up and bringing that other safety into the box because you're getting most of the boys going for 6, 7, 8 yards of carry and you get nosy and then you pop that play action pass, that's why Tyreek is out here going crazy because he's got a complimentary run game. There's not a whole bunch of teams out there, I think San Francisco's one, that could take that front four and that front seven and control that running game and then allow them to play that two deep safety shell to keep everything in front of them. So that's the reason why I picked Philadelphia in this game, because they're, like I said, they're one of the few teams. Cleveland might be the other one outside of San Francisco and Philly that can say, hey, my front four can eat all day. I can rotate guys in and keep them fresh, and they're not going to stop the running game, but they won't necessarily just get gashed. Like you see Miami just gashing people on the run and then allow them to clash and pass. So I'm going to go with Philadelphia in the game just on the strength of the front four.
This is going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a good game, and it can be one of those games where whoever's got the ball last can win. You probably got to go with the home team on a pick'em game. To me, it's a pick'em game. So in a pick'em game, I'm just going to go with the home team, but I'm rooting for Miami.
I live in Florida.
Of course, right? I got to root for Miami.
Yeah, that's the reason.
I love it, Gary. I pretty much hate everything Philly right now. So if I'm going to go against everything. This is just a straight, not from my head, from my heart. I really hate Philly. I hope that the Dolphins are going to figure out how to neutralize the front four. They're going to run away from it. They're going to scheme around this. The secondary Eagles, they lost a couple plays. You know, they're going to Tyreek Hill again. They're going to keep baiting him. Tyreek's going to get his catches, man. So that's what I think, man. You know, I hate Philly right about now, man. So I'm going for the Dolphins, man. So again, that's me.
Man, Andre, you got to admit, those powder blue Philly jerseys are the bomb. You got to admit that.
They are kind of nice.
I'm close to getting one.
No comment.
I was going to Pete Rose one. I was going to.
No comment. Let's go on. Do you have anything else you want to talk about? No comment. Go on to the next topic and let's wrap this up. I know it's a school night here. Is there a topic you want to talk about before we wrap this thing up here? You guys can pick, and I'll let you guys get this going too, man. Because I know we went a little long too. I definitely want to get to those. We got all the things in. We got the head coach on the hot seat really quickly. We got those in. It was hilarious. I was going to talk about the NBA predictions. I do think right now, Celtics, I mean, they're looking already like, damn. I know it's preseason, but Porzingis, you know, Drew Holiday, Jaylen Brown, Jaylen.
They got a wealthy Richard.
And their second unit was like dominating. I'm like, well, damn, you know, right now, that's the squad to beat. I think it's going to be Utah. Celtics, I think the Celtics are probably going to, you know, they can knock off Utah. Man. Something if Utah. I'm in Denver. My apologies. I was looking at the last topic and I was like, yeah, but joke and everything like that. Yeah, 100%. I'm thinking Denver and you know, again, Celtics for the fun. Man, come on, man. Shit.
You should have seen me in Rob's face. You did something like that. What did you say?
My bad.
Did they just make a trade?
God damn it.
I'm trying to figure out what I did. There's been some big trades going on.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I was going to talk about the NBA predictions, too. And, I think in the Western Conference, I think Denver and Phoenix are the two teams in the Western Conference Finals. And I think Denver definitely goes back. In the East, I think it's between the Celtics and the Bucks, and so it's the Celtics. So I think we're going to see a Celtics and Nuggets NBA Finals, which you probably would have liked to see last year too.
Go ahead, Gary.
I got nothing. I'm just glad they didn't say L.A.
Just glad what?
I was waiting on it. I knew the hate was coming. That's why I was telling him to just go ahead and go. Because I knew he was going to say that because he just is a hater. Just can't help it.
He automatically gets cut off when that happens.
That's true. He's past the cutoff point, though. He knows, like, he doesn't talk shit until after the show because he can get cut off and doesn't really matter. So the lady knows it'll go, like, randomly cut off
right
at some point.
She's over there fighting all the time, ready to.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. I think they're number three in the West, and then that's still all written on Anthony Davis, so it's hard to predict him being healthy to get them past Phoenix and Denver. So in my objective hat, I would put them third just because of that. I agree. I think those are the final four. I had to wait. I don't know if it's hard to repeat. I'm going to go with Phoenix and Milwaukee in the finals. I was going to talk about with the World Series. I think Houston comes back in that playoff series against Texas. They got to win today. Tomorrow, I believe their starter is not very good. I think Houston ties that up, and then you talk about the chance in the best of three against a team that's not having been there before. So I'm going to go with Houston to come back, but goddamn it, Philadelphia. I mean, they are, sorry, Dre, but they are raking as a team. You know, they just take turns hitting multiple home runs in the game. It's like, oh, well, Harper hit two today. Well, shit, Castellanos is going to hit two, and then Schwarber's going to hit two in the game. Then you mess around and get Trey Turner hit one of the two bases. You look up, and they got nine runs. You're like, God bless.
Look at all these things. Somebody can take a picture of that.
Yeah. The Phillies are acting a complete asshole at the plate. And then Wheeler and Nola just shutting people down. They are. They're acting a complete fool at the plate. I mean, I don't root for Philadelphia in anything, but what they're doing right now is impressive. They have gotten hot since like mid-August, and they have not slowed down. I think they had the best record, if I'm not mistaken, since the trade deadline through the end of the season. And nobody was really paying attention to it because the Braves had gotten so far ahead and they couldn't catch them. But they were playing fantastic baseball the second half of the season and it carried right into the playoffs. They are a machine, and it's not dependent on one guy. They're just taking turns hitting home runs a game. So I got to give them their flowers, man. The Phillies are playing some fantastic baseball.
Yeah, and I think they're going to win it all, too. I mean, that Castellanos, what, he has six home runs so far in the playoffs? Unbelievable.
It's stupid. Schwarber has many home runs left side as Reggie Jackson. Like, I said, what? I mean, there's more rounds, so you got to take it with a grain of salt. But still, when you get mentioned with Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, I think they winning it all, regardless of the Houston, the Texas out of the American League. I think the Phillies are taking it home, which means I'm going to have to get one of them powder blue jerseys.
They just need somebody. They need a bullpen game. They just need two dudes that they can marry back-to-back in those three games. And then you bring Wheeler and Nola back around with the way they're pitching. They're a problem right now.
Fun talking to you guys. I'll see you guys same time, same channel next week. And all good, man. So appreciate you guys. Hope you guys have a great week. And we'll go from there.
All right, John. I'll talk to y'all later.
Bye. Good night, gentlemen.
Deuces.
Andre had enough of that Phillies talk.
Ooh. See you later. Deuces.